everybody. Welcome to another episode of Find Your Model Health, the official podcast for those looking to optimize their long-term health and weight goals. I am your host. I am Shemaine Linney. I'm a nutritional therapist, integrative health practitioner, certified iridologist, and biohacker. I'm very happy to have you back for another piece of your day. I have a wonderful guest on today. But as always, I must remind you that the information in these podcast episodes is for informational purposes only and should not be taken as medical advice. Please consult your health practitioner before making any lifestyle changes. So today, please help me welcome the wonderful David Steinman. I'm sure some of you have came across David's work in the past. He has put out wonderful books, including the Safe Shoppers Bible. I'm pretty sure many of you have discussed that with me before. Also, Living Healthy in a Toxic World, Diet for a Poison Planet, and his new book, Raising Healthy Kids. So David is one of America's premier environmental activists, and he's going to come on and talk to us all things health and wellness for our kids and just kind of educate us on this topic that I know many of you are interested in. So David, welcome. Thank you for gracing us with your presence today.
Hey, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. So, David, before we started recording, we kind of touched on writing this new book, Raising Healthy Kids, and why you did it. And you mentioned you couldn't get into it until your kids had grown up. So if you want to go back over a little bit of that to help everyone understand, like, where this idea and the education came from. And of course, part of it is involved in having kids.
My theme of protecting your children from chemical toxins is one that doctors and most health professionals don't know a lot about and don't talk about with parents. But it's one of the chemical exposures and environmental influences on our kids are among the most important in their lives, along with good parenting and the love that mom and dad, or dad and dad, or mom and mom, however it goes, gives their kids. And there's such a dearth of information that I really felt it necessary to write to parents about protecting your kids. Parents think that this is almost unmanageable. Everyone that I meet thinks it's kind of an unmanageable situation, that we're being exposed to so many chemical toxins. People ask, well, what can I do about it if the exposure is so pervasive and great? And having been a citizen enforcer, a cop who busts corporations for hidden chemical toxins and not disclosing them, and working in this field, I've kind of simplified it for mom and dad, or dad and dad, or mom and mom, whatever, for parents. And I give them a 360 degree view to make it manageable, and I bust a lot of myths. And what I found is that the exposures that people are going through are pervasive, but they are manageable. I have met so many victims, and it's really heartbreaking. Like I meet one mom that I met had sent her kids to a preschool, but she didn't know that before you go to preschool, your kids go to preschool, you need to check their drinking water there and make sure it's safe for them, because they're going to be drinking that water all day. She found out after her kids were there that the water there from a public well had a lot of chemicals called forever chemicals that cause cancer and reproductive harm to our kids. And when she finally found out and had the levels of blood measured in her kid, the levels of contaminant in her kid's blood, it was really, really high. And she had kind of a survivor's guilt, a mother's guilt, a parent's guilt. And really, people need to know, it's just so simple, but who thinks about it? Check the water at your kid's school. What parents are told to do that, to know to do that? And yet, look what happened in Michigan, in Flint, Michigan, with lead contamination. These are irreparable things that are happening to kids. And I'm coming across these every day. So the necessity of educating parents is just paramount.
Yeah, there's so much information that it's so overwhelming that people can barely comprehend it.
You know, we have a lot to worry about in the world today. There's, you know, the world at times seems on the brink of another international war. We worry about our democracy. We worry about school shootings in America. And one thing parents don't need to throw their hands up about as if it is unmanageable is protecting their kids from chemical toxins. As difficult as that may sound, it's not. And Raising Healthy Kids, the book I wrote, makes it so simple. I start by telling stories. I really just tell a lot of stories about people I've known. And, you know, the first thing parents have to do is look at what they're feeding their children. And I break it down from there. What do you feed your children? You know, what products do you bring into your home? How do you do a cosmetic intervention? What about your child's school, where you work? And it's a 360 degree view, but it makes the whole issue so manageable. And whether your budget is that of a millionaire or like me, an activist, which means we're always scuffling, you can do this. You can protect your family for $100 or less, really. So it's that important. I wanted to make it available, what I'm teaching folks, no matter who you are, where you live, or what your budget is, because it's that important.
As the saying goes, where there's a will, there's a way.
I went down to Cancer Alley in Louisiana, and this is about 85 miles along the Mississippi River, and about 150 to 200 chemical plants all packed together along those 85 miles. And a lot of the folks there are poor. They may make $15,000, $17,000 a year. And my nonprofit group, Healthy Living Foundation, has been working with folks in Cancer Alley on a number of issues. But one of them is, how can we help folks to stay healthy given these terrible exposures they're going through? And one point I want to make is that the folks in Cancer Alley are going through extraordinary exposures, but so are a lot of people throughout the rest of the United States and Canada. It's not just there. But, you know, when you're not making a lot of money, you might think that being healthy is only for the rich. So I was sharing with folks there, look, you know, you may not have $400 to buy a reverse osmosis water filter to put under your sink because your water there, the water in Cancer Alley, does have terrible contaminants like atrazine, an herbicide that causes cancer. And hexachlorocyclopentadiene, which is used for processing plastics, phthalates, which are just awful on kids' health. They're microplastics. So I showed them, look, you can get a water filter that fits at the end of your faucet for about $25. That will remove most of the contaminants, maybe 75 to 80%. Then get a little zero water a pitcher and pour the water from your faucet into the pitcher, and that will remove even more contaminants. You've spent about $60, but mom and dad, you have done so much to protect your health and your children's health by filtering your water. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm trying to say. You can do this on any budget.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and just for people who don't understand, forever chemicals pretty much is a term used for these chemicals that hang around in our body for almost forever, for a very, very long time, and they're very hard to remove.
Well, and you know, they were exposed to them in many different ways. For example, stain-resistant fabric used in furniture, mm-hmm. in clothing, or water-resistant materials used in furniture and clothing often contain these forever chemicals. And you're right, they don't break down in the human body, they don't break down in the environment. And unfortunately, when companies choose communities to manufacture products containing these, big companies always choose the most vulnerable small communities, mm-hmm. the ones that can't defend themselves. So, you know, I was interviewing folks in Hoosick Falls, New York, just a small community up in upstate New York, where stain-resistant tents were being manufactured, actually for the Middle East, for the Hajj, when folks do their pilgrimage on the Hajj, they need tents, right? And they were manufacturing these water-resistant, stain-resistant tents. But I interviewed folks in, like, one of the guys I interviewed, his dad worked at one of these companies making it. And he died of liver cancer from forever chemicals. And, you know, they always pick vulnerable communities because they just can't fight back. And it happens in Canada, it happens in the US. And, you know, you don't get told your water is contaminated until many years after the fact, because it's always kept hidden. So even before you test your water, I really advise parents to treat it, as I said, to filter it. And as I've pointed out, you can do that for under $100. And that is such a huge, you can buy all the health insurance you want, but that $100 will prevent more illness in your family, parents, than all that health insurance. It really will.
Yeah. There's a big pushback on re-adding fluoride into the water here in Calgary and surrounding areas. And we have Dr. Bob Dixon doing a lot of the petitioning and fighting against the man, as we call them here, about the fluoride conditions. It looks promising. It looks like we might win. But fluoride is only one thing we need to worry about. These chemicals are falling out of the sky.
Well, you know, you're being, it's literally true. For example, my nonprofit group has done a lot of work in the area of seafood. And we found that there were shellfish being sold throughout the world, but particularly in North America, with very high levels of reproductive causing heavy metal called cadmium. And the folks that my nonprofit actually sued distributors of certain types of seafood shellfish, particularly oysters from Northwestern the United States in Washington state. And they said, well, we found so much cadmium in there. So they said, where's the cadmium coming from? And we had to explain, when cadmium is used in manufacturing and it's emitted via the smokestacks, it actually gets into the wind stream and is carried throughout the globe into the northern Pacific Ocean, where it enters the Pacific and then enters bays in Washington state. It's not natural. It's coming from manufacturing in China and Asia and elsewhere, but it gets carried to North America. So, Shemange, you're literally correct. Yeah, it does come from the sky sometimes.
Yeah, and it's even for me doing what I do, and I'm sure for you, it's enough to make you cringe and want to just move to another planet, because it's everywhere. None of us, I say to my clients, doesn't matter how healthy you think someone is or what their profession is, none of us can avoid this. So all we can do is educate ourselves and stack conditions in our favor.
Exactly. Getting back to Cancer Alley and in the sky, my nonprofit Healthy Living Foundation has worked with a school in Reserve, Louisiana called the Fifth Ward Elementary, where there's about 325 students and maybe another 100 teachers and staff, who are right next to a chemical plant called Danka, plastic plant. And so, Shemaine, when you and your listeners, and this is kind of what Raising Healthy Kids is about, it's about protecting your own family, but understanding that in doing that, you can also help a lot of other folks. So all these kids are going to school, and this plant, the Danka plant, manufactures neoprene products. Now, neoprene is what we use everywhere, and I don't want to guilt people because this is all new to most people. But for example, neoprene is used in shoes for the soles. It's used in wetsuits and medical supplies, but it's also used in a lot of things where maybe it's not known so necessary, like koozies, as you know, soft drink and beer coolers, right? The little foam jackets that you put around your drink to keep it cool, or wetsuits, for example. Well, all of that is being manufactured next to this little school. And the kids there are breathing a chemical called chloroprene, used to make the neoprene, at levels in the air that's about 70 times above what's allowed by federal regulations. My group brought down to them 32 high efficiency particle air filters for each classroom. And that's because in Louisiana, these kids aren't being moved. The plant is about 1500 feet away from the school. But at least now when the kids are in their classrooms, that will be the cleanest air they breathe all day. And it's not only important to the kids in reserve, but parents would be, it's important to know that these same pollutants, not chloroprene exactly, but other similar air pollutants, when you're pregnant, mom, if you breathe these, your child will lose 2 to 3 points in their IQ from the pollution. So you want to have these same kinds of air filters that we brought for the kids. Now, they are each about $60 or $70 each. But you want them in your home, too, because it's important for your kids' health. And if you're pregnant, it's important for your newborn's health to remove these kinds of air pollutants. So we are often put in intractable situations. But the point is that there's a lot we can do to protect our health, even in the worst of situations.
If this manufacturing center in Louisiana is letting off 70 times more of this chemical particulate, why have the FDA or local law enforcement not intervened or done something about this?
That's a great question. Why hasn't local regulators? It's Louisiana. And Louisiana is stacked against the people and for the chemical industry. It's where chemicals happen and people are not protected. Now, we aren't protected. I live in California and we have to watch out here too. And we're very attuned to environmental hazards. But one of the myths that I have to tell mom and dad about is Uncle Sam in the United States, I don't know what you call the man in Canada, whoever, is not going to protect you.
Yeah.
Okay. Government regulations are the last backstop. They're not the first. They're the ones that say it's really out of hand if you're violating federal regulations. Okay. Mom and dad, government's not going to protect you. That's why there's so much water pollution. That's why those forever chemicals were in the drinking water of that preschool, or why chloroprene is hurting people in Cancer Alley. They're not going to protect you. So given that, you do have to take your own measures to do it. And we just have to realize that even in America, and even with a pro-environmental administration, the ability for Washington, D.C. or Ottawa to protect its citizens is very limited. Mom and dad must be the first protectors of their own children and be far more educated than their public representatives.
So what you're saying is the financial aspect is more important than the population's health when it comes to this sort of thing and regulation.
So in Louisiana and in areas like Louisiana and Texas, and there are areas in Canada where there's heavy manufacturing, yeah, the money talks. But government apathy is a huge one too. Most public, I mean, I work, you know, with government officials all the time and individuals, and there's so many good people in government, but government itself is a very slow moving way to protect the population. So there may be well-intentioned public officials, but the government apparatus is so cumbersome to get anything done. Because when you cite a polluting industry, I know this because we bus companies all the time. You know, they use the legal system to delay. You know, we busted a company for selling olive oil with a chemical called carbaryl in it. The company is called California Olive Ranch, and they were selling their olive oil product with carbaryl to customers all over the United States and possibly in other countries.
Can you tell our followers what carbaryl is? It's one of these compounds that's not as common as, say, cadmium or lead or mercury would be.
Yeah, carbaryl is a pesticide that causes reproductive harm. It actually damages male sperm, the female egg, and can cause autism in the offspring of newborns, where it's sprayed in California on olives, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So we were finding it in the finished olive oil product. So here you have people consuming what should be a really healthy food, olive oil, and the carbaryl in it is causing men who may be on the cusp of fertility. You know, we don't have a great reproductive rate in the civilized world anymore.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of men are on just the cusp of infertility. When they start eating this product every day, they're being dosed with a chemical that moves them from barely fertile to subfertile or infertile. Mm-hmm. So you have a lot of families that want to have kids, and they're eating a food that they think is healthy called California Olive Ranch, because it's an olive oil product, Mediterranean diet and all,
mm-hmm.
but it's contaminated with carbaryl, and they're not telling their consumers. We notified them legally several years ago, and they continued to sell the product, using the legal system to delay, just to continue to sell their inventory. And so companies are, you know, often use this cumbersome legal system in the United States and Canada just to extend their profits at the expense of public health.
It's enough to make one think that they don't care. They do not care about our health. I've came across new research actually recently that has now shown that male infertility has passed female infertility, which is shocking, especially for someone who has two sons. I have two sons, and hopefully my work helps them. But people are consuming these foods that they believe are healthy, and it's, instead of optimizing their health, it's degrading their health.
I can give you a great example. Speaking about sons, my own, when they were entering their teen years, just a few years ago, started using cologne. One of them brought home a cologne called English Leather.
Mm.
And, you know, kids use these products all the time. Kids, like, are the biggest users of cosmetics in the world. Mm. Teenagers, you know, they just, when I would walk into my daughter's bedroom, it smelled like the Body Shop, like 1,000 different fragrances going down there.
Yeah.
But we measured the amount of a chemical called phthalate in that English Leather cologne, and it was rip-roaring high. Well, phthalates damage male sperm. So if you have your teenagers putting on fragrances and, you know, colognes with phthalate in them that's undisclosed, and you're wondering why we have a fertility crisis in the Western world, you know, let's be real here. It's because we're dosing our kids with chemicals that are causing sperm damage. They're causing the sperm not to be able to, you know, they don't swim right, you know, to wriggle up the to get to the ovum. They may be too damaged. The chromosomes in there could be damaged.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, again, these are hidden chemical toxins, but what parent knows that when their child brings home these cosmetic products or these Body Shop, not Body Shop literally, but, mm, you know, fragrances, that they contain phthalates because they're not disclosed. I share with you how to find safer products and how to do a cosmetic intervention for your teens. And it really works. It cuts down their exposure.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important, but parents often don't know that. So, you know, that's one of the reasons why we have an increasing rate of male infertility and overall infertility.
It's shocking. With inflation here in Canada, so my teenager for years now, I've made him aware of what he's putting on his skin. So we do go out of our way to get him clean products. But with inflation now, even for a roll-on deodorant, you're looking on average $18 to $20, which is insane. And when you look at these ones laden with phthalates, you could go to the dollar store and get one for $1 or $2. So that in itself makes things more challenging for people as well.
Yeah, although my experience remains a little different. One of the things I point out to folks is that finding safer products is much easier today than ever before, and that the cost is going down.
Not in Canada.
For example, I want to hear about that because people will think, well, organic food is too expensive for me because it's organic, right? But when folks shop, I tell them go online, like to Instacart or one of the online shopping services, and you will find all food prices have gone up, but you will find that the staples like lettuce, mm-hmm. apples, oranges, bread, cucumbers, celery, are all priced about the same as conventionally grown. Mm-hmm. And it's a myth that you have to spend a lot more, for example, organic foods. And that's because there was no organic market, by the way, in the year 1999, 1998. The organic market for folks that were only born yesterday is very new, mm-hmm. very new. It didn't exist. The reason why it exists today is because folks like myself and others were demanding it 20 years ago and created this market. Similarly, we were demanding safer cosmetics and created the market for organics. So it may be that some antiperspirants that are safer are far more expensive, but I think if you look, you will find some brands that are fairly safe that might be $6, $7, $8. For example, Tom's of Maine, mm-hmm. Is not organic, but they do avoid a number of the harmful ingredients available. So I would encourage folks to shop online. And, similarly, household cleaning products. Like I'll buy a laundry detergent like Ecos. And the reason why is I know that it doesn't contain dioxane or ethoxylated alcohols, which can contain dioxane. Dioxane is a carcinogen. It's used to soften harder detergents like sodium lauryl sulfate. But I'll buy a product like Ecos that may be a little more expensive, but I know it doesn't have dioxane. But overall, I think the price of buying safer products has gone down considerably. Inflation notwithstanding, and compared to conventional sourced products.
Mm-hmm. I like to use borax, straightforward borax on my clothes. And it also binds to chemicals too.
Yeah, do you use the borax for your laundry? Is that
yes. It?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have done it internally, believe it or not. And I will clean like the floor with it and it just everything. And then apple cider vinegar and lemon. I've found some good products on Amazon here that if you buy two, it cuts the price significantly. So there is ways.
Although you have to be really careful. One brand that a lot of people think is really good to buy is called Seventh Generation.
Mm-hmm.
And in my new book, Raising Healthy Kids, I've actually downgraded them. They do have some good products, but you also have to be careful. And I teach people how to read labels. For example, when you're buying laundry detergent, I just mentioned ethoxylated alcohols. Look on your cosmetic and household cleaning products for ingredients that have ETH, like sodium laureth sulfate or citerate sulfate. Anything with ETH has been ethoxylated with a very heavy duty carcinogen called ethylene dioxide, ethylene oxide, which breaks down in the product into 1,4-dioxane, which is cancer causing. And I noticed seventh generation has been using these alcohol thoxalates. So I advise when you're buying household cleaning products, we've checked out ECOS, ECOS, and I think they're a much safer product. You know, I don't want people to be greenwashed either and to buy a product they think is really good when it's not living up to their expectations too. So sometimes you have to call out companies that you originally liked. I liked seventh generation. I just think right now they're in a slump. So, you know,
they're pretty popular here.
Yeah, that's why I'm talking about it.
Okay. So has your foundation reached out to them and said, why are you doing this when you're trying to present yourself as user-friendly and healthy?
There was a time when we worked very closely with them. And originally they were a privately owned company, but Unilever purchased them.
Oh, there's the answer.
And that diluted their corporate ethics, I think.
I've seen that happen with a couple of foods that I really liked here. And then I discovered they had been purchased by Nestle. And I was like, oh, no, now I have to go look for something else.
Yeah,
they can't be trusted. They cannot be trusted.
Yeah, they lose their original mission. That said, though, Shemaine, there are a lot of great companies out there, a lot of small companies. There are big companies like ECOS is a big for cleaning products. They're not small. They're throughout North America. But they're privately owned. They're actually a women and black owned company.
I think I've seen them here, if I'm correct. And we have a store here that's kind of like your community foods or your Whole Foods and Natural Foods. There, ours is called Community Foods. I'm pretty sure I've seen them
here. Oh, speaking of, that's where I spoke.
Community Foods?
Yeah. I think it's a co-op.
Co-op bought it over, but they still keep some of their integrity, which is good.
Yeah. When I was up in Calgary. Yeah, that was a blast. it's very doable to buy safe products, safe foods, and filter your water and stuff. I really am working on exploding that myth that you have to be rich to be healthy. You know, it's one that people all over the world think is true. And look, there are some situations that are just horrible that we all know are going on. So I'm not talking about wartime. I'm just talking about if we have peace and a little money to live, we can do this. Mom and dad, though, you can't be asleep, mom and dad. You really have to be awake, and it's up to you to protect your kids.
God forbid a nuclear bomb goes off, then we won't need to worry about anything because that will be totally out of our control then.
Although, speaking of nuclear, you know, I wrote about another family in Mooresville, North Carolina. I'm just telling the stories now because what I'm trying to show is that this is happening everywhere. You know, don't think you're immune to it. You do have to be aware. But I was doing a story about a friend of mine in Mooresville, North Carolina. That whole town is next to a nuclear plant called the McGuire nuclear plant. Plus, they have coal ash. Coal ash is what's produced from coal plants, and it is used for landscaping around schools. But it's very toxic with heavy metals. And when you have nuclear and coal ash together, the nuclear radiation synergizes the coal ash exposure. Mm-hmm. And kids in these towns are getting weird. In Mooresville, we're getting weird cancers, thyroid and other cancers. Mm-hmm. And it's clearly from the synergy of the nuclear plant and the coal ash. And, you know, you may not think about it because that nuclear plant is 5 miles away. But speaking of nuclear, because you brought it up, mm-hmm. You know, one of the things I mentioned in raising healthy kids is if you live near a nuclear plant, and maybe you've dealt with this too, Shemaine, you need to be aware of what you need to do to prevent some radiation exposure. For example, kelp and iodine tablets can be purchased online, mm-hmm. and they help your body from absorbing all of that radiation. Mm-hmm. And again, this isn't a perfect solution, but it's something you need to know about, because it's the world we live in today.
It's an age. It's a way to help stack conditions in your favor.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm curious, since as you said that about the coal mining, I'm curious, this is just a side topic, your opinion around lithium mining and the coal mining for the use of these electric cars.
Yeah, I think, you know, this is what makes things really interesting when you're trying to say, well, is electric better than gas? Because we're now exploiting additional resources, which are causing enormous pollution problems in local communities. My solution actually is to drive a 1999 4Runner. And I'll keep driving. It's got 350,000 miles on it. My solution actually now, Shemaine, is to try and avoid, to make things last. You know, we're such a throwaway society. And I think we need to make things last. So maybe my 99 4Runner isn't as cool as a Tesla. But you know what? It's very good for where we are. And I think its pollution impact is much less than going electric right now and exploiting more of the earth for the lithium and other
And it's reliable. Metals. It's reliable. And sometimes these cars are more fun. I don't necessarily want the cool. I have a gas engine myself. I don't need a Tesla. I have no interest in anything like that. Cool is not always better.
You know, maybe we shouldn't be throwing so much stuff out too. You know, we have become such a throwaway society. We buy stuff online. It breaks. We use it. We throw it out. But that's, you know, it's like, oh, you have a water pollution problem. Well, drink bottled water. Well, what do I do with the plastic from the bottled water? Throw it out. Well, then it causes more plastic pollution. Maybe we should be a little bit, make things to last again. Like, you know, like our serving ware, you know, plastic cups, you know, maybe glass breaks kind of easily. But in a way, I don't want to keep throwing plastic crap out into the environment.
Yeah.
You know, it's like with the neoprene we were talking about earlier and that plant in Reserve, Louisiana. I play music with folks that live in Reserve, Louisiana. I play blues music with my friends there. We're all breathing the air, but they live there and they're breathing the air and getting sick. One of my friends, his wife has breast cancer. His son was born with developed kidney disease after about the age of 4. And it's from these exposures. And so, you know, when you're shopping, do you really need to buy that koozie to keep your drinks cool that's made from neoprene? Can you find a jump rope that instead of having neoprene handles has wooden handles? Can you buy a spatula that's made from stainless steel instead of forever chemicals? You know, these are the kinds of things that we're in charge. You know, when we were in our 20s, we thought the people in Ottawa or Washington who were running things were really smart. They were adults. And now when you look at the politicians in charge, you go,
it's laughable.
These people are really immature. They're stupid sometimes. They don't care. And they want me to trust them. No, Shemaine, you and I are in charge. We're the ones making the decisions now. So while I've been talking a lot about raising healthy kids, the last chapter of my book is called Deep Caring. And it's about how parents can be the models of activism for their kids. You know, when you do things, Shemaine, like buy organic foods, it's not only good for your kids, but you're setting an example for them of how to be a good citizen. And one of the things I discovered, because I had been buying organic foods like organic strawberries and organic lettuce, at a time, you know, 20 years ago, everyone was telling me, why are you spending money on organic foods? Those pesticides don't hurt anybody. So during the pandemic, when I was writing Raising Healthy Kids, I went to Salinas, California. It's a little farm town in the Salinas Valley, carved out of the farm fields. The small schools there are all in the middle of the fields. When I used to go there in the early 2000s, all these fields were being sprayed with organophosphate pesticides, the strawberries, the lettuce, and all the other foods that are being cultivated there. And the schools had kids who were being exposed to all these chemicals. I went back there about 2 years ago to the same schools, and all the schools were surrounded by organic strawberry and lettuce fields.
Good.
And I kind of said, wow, and I kind of started crying.
Yeah.
And the reason I did is, to me, I'm not particularly religious in an organized sense, but to me, this was a real miracle, because for many years, I and many others had been buying those expensive, and they were expensive early on, organic strawberries. Again, people saying, why are you doing this? Why are you wasting your money? I got to these schools. The fields are now organic. I called a teacher there, Oscar Ramos, who's in the book. He said, well, David, the reason why there's organic strawberries now around these schools is because of people like you and others who are buying the organic strawberries and created the market. So to me, it was kind of a miracle that I was doing this for people I never met, kids I'll never see. But when I got there and saw the difference, I realized my pathetic little life and the little choices I made actually had a profound influence on communities where I didn't even know anyone. Whether it's in reserve and you're not buying that neoprene wetsuit and looking for better alternatives, which are now available, or those koozies, or Salinas, and you're now buying organic strawberries. Mom and Dad, you are the change. And the changes you make for your kids go further than just your kids. They impact so many other communities. They really do, and I've seen it. So to me, it was kind of a miracle. And we are the ones in charge. And we are the adults.
What do you say to the people who argue, well, organic is still not 100% clean or pure? And especially for up here, we're obviously north from you, you can get organic strawberries locally. It's a lot harder to get them locally. Most of ours come from California, Mexico, even Chile. So then you've got the transport consideration. What do you say to that?
Well, I would say move to British Columbia.
They have their own problems.
Well, but there's a lot more strawberries. You know, but they have a lot of, but they're growing some of the strawberries and a lot of the soft fruit. No, seriously. First of all, organics are not perfect, but I've looked at the monitoring reports for organic foods versus conventional, and the difference is so stark that although organic isn't imperfect, the studies show clearly when you put your kids on organic foods, the level of pesticide in their bodies as measured in their urine goes way down to non-detectable. Mm-hmm. So it's not perfect, but don't let the good be the enemy of the perfect. Organic is good. The studies show, the peer-reviewed published studies show, when you go on organic foods, or you put your family on organic foods, your kids will have a lower risk of cancer, less risk of obesity and diabetes. Mom, your pregnancy will have fewer complications. So there's just so much evidence now showing that organics help you to be healthier. In terms of transportation costs and importing organic foods, I really do encourage folks to go with the seasons and do community sustainable agriculture.
Yeah.
And I know that in Calgary, it's there. You know, you can support local farms as much as possible. Now, yeah, there are times when you may be jonesing for strawberries and you're going to buy them and they're from Chile or California. I get that. Now, if that, another way to do it though, because organics, the glamour fruits like strawberries and blueberries can be the most expensive organic items. The reason why is they're among the most difficult to cultivate without pesticides. You do it, obviously, and farmers are getting better and better at it, but those soft skins make them very vulnerable to fungus and mold. So they do get sprayed a lot. And that's why organics can be more expensive. But one thing to look for is to buy frozen organic strawberries and fruits in those big 3 pound packs like that you can get at the big box stores. And then you get a price that's about the same as the conventionally grown. And if you buy some non-fat yogurt and you some organic almonds and walnuts, you can create great desserts for your kids that they will eat and love at about the same price, and the strawberries won't get go bad because, and the blueberries won't go bad because they're frozen.
Yeah.
So there are ways out of it in terms of price. And you can cut down transportation costs by belonging to a CSA and supporting local agriculture.
I just wanted to kind of change the subject a little bit. When I was reading your bio that was sent to me, it mentioned that you guys had done some tests on some different brands like Johnson & Johnson, Kellogg's, Tide, General Mills, a few others. Can you give us a little bit of insight on what that testing was and what you found? I know it's going to be in your book, but like a sneak peek.
Well, one of the bigger cases that we've been handling recently was with Johnson's baby products. And my group, the Healthy Living Foundation, filed a lawsuit against Johnson's baby products in Washington, D.C. under the Consumer Procedures Protection Act, which alleged that their products that claim to be free from phthalates, these chemicals that cause learning difficulties and reproductive harm in our children and infertility in adults and cancer in adults, that they were claiming their baby products were free from phthalates. And I was buying them, my kids were buying them, and we decided to test them. And once we sent them to the lab, we sent them to many labs, actually, we discovered that they were filled with phthalates and that Johnson's was just deceiving its customers. So I talk about this in the book and show you how to find safer baby products. But that case is in litigation, but that's why we filed the suit. And we'll hopefully have a resolution that will be good for consumers. Another interesting example of companies that think they can push consumers around or hide things from them, you've probably heard of a company called Justin's. Justin's makes nut butters.
Yes, yeah.
And everybody buys them because Justin Gold claims to be this, you know, great environmentalist who cares so much about our kids. Mm. Well, my kids were snacking on Justin's products. It was during the Super Bowl a few years ago, along with Chex snack mixes. They had a big party here and they bought all this food. They said they were trying to buy healthy food, but look, teens
they can
sometimes buy healthy food, but a lot of times forget about it.
Yeah.
Anyway, they thought the Justin's was really going to be healthy, that the nut butters were healthy. But we measured Justin's nut butter for a chemical called acrylamide, which is an industrial chemical that causes endometrial or uterine and ovarian cancer in our daughters. And their products were loaded with acrylamide. And we had to sue them too. And Justin's continues to sell products without warnings. So
did they
that case is also in litigation.
Did they, so you haven't got a resolution there? Like
no, and they continue to, you know, these companies continue, as we've talked about, they continue to use their money in the legal system to continue selling poison products that are poisonous to our kids and that will do long-term harm to them without warning them. Now, you know, if you go to Whole Foods and you see Justin's nut butters, well, you should know, we also tested the Whole Foods almond butter. And it had a little bit of acrylamide, but so much less, it would be a much smarter choice. So consumers, are being, in my opinion, harmed by what Justin's isn't telling their shoppers. And, you know, these companies are greenwashing because they claim to be big environmentalists. But when it comes right down to the kids, Gone with the Wind, they don't give a damn.
They don't care.
They appear not to give a damn, I should say.
That is going to upset a lot of people because Justin's is very popular as a healthy food here. I don't eat it. I personally do not eat it.
So as I said, you know, when I show the alternatives in raising healthy kids, but one brand that comes to mind was the Whole Foods brand of nut butter. It was just a lot less contaminated.
So in your book, you have lists of certain foods that we're being fooled on and then the alternatives.
Oh yeah, yeah. I put in so many shopping tables to make it really quick, just so you know which brands are being truthful with you. Like there are a lot of good food brands. It's just that some companies are scofflaws either they don't understand the seriousness of their violation, or they're just literally, as I said, don't really care about our kids.
You know, well, look, I think you would be on the same page as me, as that is more than likely the truth. They don't care.
Another example is checks. You know, I was mentioning the Super Bowl, you know, during the wintertime, you know, you get all the, and we pack them off with our kids' lunches. We these little Chex snack mixes with pretzels and
I'm not familiar with
cereal.
these. Maybe it's a States thing. I don't know what Chex are.
Oh, these are like little mixes of pretzels. They have little bits of cereal in them. And they come in these little 2 ounce bags or 1 ounce bags, and you put them in your kids' lunch instead of potato chips, right?
Okay.
You know, they're just little snack, Chex snack mixes.
Okay.
Well, these also had a really high level of that industrial chemical. And these are made by General Mills. And we told General Mills, and they continue to sell the product. We have legal action with them too. On the other hand, you can buy pretzels like from the company called Quinn that are completely free from this chemical or very low. So, you know, there's a lot we're not being told, but as a kind of a cop working the toxic beat, I see all these flagrant violators. And because I have this special knowledge, I've tried to put them in the book so that you know who's being honest with you and cares about you and who's just in it for the money.
Do you think the likes of General Mills and these big, too hard to burn companies think that activists like yourself are just small potatoes and they're not even worried about you and what you have to say?
That's a great question. Yeah, I don't think we enter their minds at all. I think they're so focused on profits. And you know, once you're in a corporation like that, you don't get rewarded for speaking out. You know that movie Jerry Maguire, where Jerry's a sports agent, and all the athletes are being exploited. He writes a letter to his agency saying, "We have to stop exploiting our athletes and start caring about them." And what happens? You know, he gets fired and rousted out. You don't get rewarded for being the square pin in a round hole in a corporation. So corporations stay quiet and the employees stay quiet. And that's why it's left to folks like me. Now, the only way to make them care is to make them pay for it. I used to hold press conferences as a journalist, and I still am a journalist, and try to shame companies.
Yeah.
But shame doesn't cost them a cent.
Yeah.
So you have to hit them in the pocketbook. So when we settle, it's very important. The money in that sense is very important. They have to feel the pain. They have to learn the lesson. Taking their money is like spanking a kid, or even worse. You've got to get, you know, I'm not advocating spanking. I'm just saying that's the only way you can make them feel pain is to take their money. They don't care about shame.
Yeah, and they will feel that if enough people do it, if enough people get educated, they will feel the pinch in their pocket when we start putting our money somewhere else.
And the other way is the consumers. Instead of buying Chex snack mixes or Justin's, Boyk stop or Johnson's, just stop buying them. Don't be their lackey or their patsy, mom and dad. Your kids deserve better.
I know somebody watching, I know my followers and clients very well. I know somebody is going to say, "Shemaine, why didn't you ask him about his opinion on the European or the environmental working app, the EWG app that people use to scan the labels when they're in the stores? What's your opinion on that? Do you think it's useful? Is it accurate? I've questioned it a few times, scanning a few labels."
I think EWG, Environmental Working Group, is very, very important, and they do great work. I think their app is extremely useful, but I have noticed that they miss the boat on a lot of substances. Sometimes they give the okay to substances that really shouldn't be in there. I think I'm a little more strict than they are in what I'm, but I think it makes things easier too. You know, the app doesn't speak to you. I'm trying to speak to mom and dad like a friend or a helpful brother or something. or just a really caring friend. And for example, the app may say these ethoxylated alcohols could be contaminated with dioxane, but give them a really low toxicity rating.
Yes.
But most of them are contaminated with dioxane should get a high toxicity rating. Yeah. I think we should be eliminating as many petrochemicals from our products as possible. I say that because of all my friends in Cancer Alley who are being exposed to these chemicals, and it's kind of personal, whereas the EWG app will condone a number of petrochemicals as being low toxicity, but they're really not low toxicity when you're talking about the environment and the total impact. So I think they're doing great work. I concur with them mainly. Where our differences exist, I think they are minor compared to the great work they're doing.
So people, the app can be beneficial, just understanding it's not 100% accurate.
I think you've got it right. I would rather have folks read Raising Healthy Kids. You see, the thing with all the online stuff that we're using is it's not unified. What I mean is I'm trying to give mom and dad a perspective, a shield, a way to look at things that's a lot more incisive. It's almost like giving you x-ray vision. When you read Raising Healthy Kids, you may not need the app as much because a lot of things that you didn't see before just on the label will all of a sudden stick out with you so badly that you'll say, oh, I don't want this product. Like, instead of going to the app, if you see sodium lauryl sulfate, you don't need to go to the app. You know that's not a good ingredient. That company doesn't care about you. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, when you pick up a Dr. Bronner's liquid soap and you just look at the label, you'll say, oh, yeah, this is okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to make you more self-sufficient and increase your IQ because, you know, I'm a natural teacher. It's not broken up. It's not like lots of separate little things. Raising Healthy Kids, the book, is a unified approach to staying healthy.
So could we say a future app for you and your foundation is off the table? A competitive
app? You know, what's on the table for me right now is reading Healthy Kids out loud, getting an audible version, an audio version when it comes out in May. I think there are enough apps. I'm not doing the apps.
Okay.
I just want to talk to people like I'm your friend, your older brother, whatever, because I think that people need to hear a unified story about what's going on. As I said, I think apps and the internet give you lots of bits of information, but I'm giving you the whole glacier.
Awesome. So I have one more question. Before we get into where we can get your book, this question occurred to me when you were talking about Cancer Alley in Louisiana and whatnot. Do you have a list in the book or on your website or anywhere of places that maybe you shouldn't visit because these places are toxic? If people were considering vacationing somewhere, let's say along the Mississippi, maybe you shouldn't go that area. Like, do you have a list of places?
That is such an interesting question. I haven't put a list together of my safest vacation spots
or places to avoid.
Yeah,
there you go. That'll give you something to do today.
You mean aside from Chernobyl? Yeah.
Well, you know, it sounds like these places are just as bad. Like, because when you're on vacation, you're generally out exploring, you're inhaling a lot of the air, obviously, but you're trying the local food and entertainment. I mean, for me, I like to travel a lot. And if there was a list of places that said, don't go here because the chemical exposure here in the atmosphere is extremely high for cadmium or whatever, I'd be like, okay, I'm not going there. So that would be very handy.
It's really interesting. And you know where that might be really useful is, for example, people like to go on vacations and fish and stuff. And, you know, you kind of got to be aware of the food, local food. For example, if you're vacationing in Michigan, for example, or the Upper Great Lakes, you know, you might have to be aware that some of the fish in those Great Lakes are going to be contaminated with organochlorine pesticides from past exposures. Jermaine, that's, you know, I would love to know about all the non-toxic places to visit for vacations and vice versa. I think one of the things I would like to mention, though, is that when I visit places like, as we've been talking about, Cancer Alley, or you go to East Palestine, Ohio, where there was that terrific, terrible train derailment that released polyvinyl chloride into the community in last February in 2023, or you go to Houston, you know, and you know that there's a big manufacturing hub. What I do talk about is knowing your community. And one thing I do advise, and maybe I should extend this to vacation spots, is I say, if no matter where you live, or if you're going to move to a new community, research it first and know what's there. And I suppose what you're saying in relation to vacation spots is the same thing. Know where you're vacationing and research it first. I recommend there are lots of online sites where people can get a toxic release inventory, for example, and discover what chemicals are being released in that community. I urge them to look at what in local environmental groups are saying. So in that sense, before you vacation, yeah, I would urge you to look at where you're going and do some research. Know your community. That's part of the 360-degree view of protecting your kids and your own health that you need to take. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, research first. That's what I would say in response.
Brilliant. So your book is not available until May 9th. Am I correct?
Yeah, early May. But people can buy advanced copies. They can put in Raising Healthy Kids, my name, David Steinman, into any search engine and find it at every bookstore in Canada and the U.S., independent sellers, all the chains. So it's widely available for pre-sale. You can pick it up now.
Oh, really? I see Amazon, you can pre-order, but you can already pre-purchase in some locations?
Oh, yeah. All over the countries. Both Canada and the U.S. You can buy it online and it ships in early May. Yeah.
Okay, brilliant. And if people want to follow a bit more of your work and the content you're putting out, you have some social media that they can follow you on?
That would be great. DavidSteinman.us is my website where I report on my work and what cases we're handling now and stories about taking care of your kids and my writing and interviewing and reporting. If you visit Twitter, I'm by David Steinman, BY David Steinman.
Great.
And on Instagram, I'm David_Steinman_author. And I hope folks visit. I try to post a lot and stay active. And I would love, you know, I love meeting folks and I try to be really accessible. One thing I really try to do is respond to people. I myself hate it when I write to folks that I really admire
and
my email goes out and I never hear from them. So I just want your audience to know when you visit David Steinman, you can write to me. And I really do try to read things and learn from folks. Yeah. I really do.
Yeah. I'm wondering before I let you go, I had mentioned Dr. Bob Dixon here in Calgary. He's a doctor fighting the fluoride battle here, and they've done a lot of work. Actually, they had some time in front of Congress in Washington as well, from what I understand. I was wondering, had you heard of Dr. Bob before I mentioned him?
No, but I've heard of the fluoride. I mean, the fluoride issue is enormously important.
Maybe I should connect you two. You'd really like him. He's very passionate.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I would love that.
Okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, thank you for your time today. This has been a pleasure. Maybe if you're up for it, we might do a round two over the summer or something, and maybe you'll have an update on some of these legal pursuits you have going.
We should have updates on most of them in the next 2 to 3 months. Things are moving along. I can't talk about specifics because of negotiations. And I just want to give people the broad outlines.
Yeah.
Be wary of Johnson's baby products. Be wary of Justin's almond butter. and those Chex snack mixes, and pick up a copy of Raising Healthy Kids. It will make your life healthier.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, David. This has been a pleasure. I've no doubt everyone's going to love it.
Thank you.
Thank you.